Bob Siegel Show on AM 1170. The Answer is sponsored by Bob Siegel.
The Bob Siegel Show is brought to you in part by Primetime Media Group and the law offices of Matthew Simone.
Recurring themes on The Bob Siegel Show can also be found on his online column, Forbidden Table Talk.
It's time now for the Bob Siegel Show, a religious open forum where all questions are welcome. And now, here's your host, Christian apologist, Bob Siegel.
And this is Bob Siegel. So, you'd like to believe in God, but Christians just don't seem to know anything about the real world. They throw science out the window and instead cling to Bible verses. For example, Christians have the audacity to teach that same-sex attraction or a same-sex lifestyle is something they can turn away from when everybody knows gay people are born that way. Well, my friend, today's guest may challenge your thinking somewhat. She makes her third appearance on the Bob Siegel Show, although it's been a very long time. Ann Polk is listed as one of the nation's 100 experts on the subject of homosexuality. Delivered herself from that lifestyle, she has become quite famous both nationally and internationally and has appeared on such well-known programs as Nightline, 60 Minutes, Oprah, Good Morning America, ABC's World News Tonight, Focus on the Family, and the 700 Club. Her story has been featured in hundreds of newspapers and magazines, including People, USA Today, GQ, Rolling Stone, Time, Newsweek, The New York Times, The Wall Street Journal, and U.S. News and World Report. There have been more than 400 media broadcasts and articles, including the cover of Newsweek. Of course, lately, things have gotten so politically correct and freedom of speech so curtailed, we'll have to ask Ann how many of these programs are still willing to have her on. But in the meantime, we at least are very honored to have her back on our program. Ann, welcome.
What a delight to be with you. Thanks so much for having me, Bob.
You're one of my Facebook buddies. We've rallied to each other's side tense moments before. It's wonderful to hear from you again. How's everything going?
It's going well. It's delightful. My boys have been spoiling me today.
Well, speaking of your boys, yes, let me wish you a happy Mother's Day. How old are your boys now?
The youngest is now 14, and the oldest is 20. I have a 17-year-old as well.
Wow. Where does the time go?
I don't know.
You were probably only about 18 or 19 when I first met you.
That's right. And you had young children at the time.
I had young children who are in their late 30s now. Yeah.
Yeah. See? Yeah. Well, there you go. So time does fly, doesn't it, Bob?
It does. Now, since it's been a long time since you've been on and some of our audience may not be familiar with this, why don't you go ahead and share a little bit about your story and background again, or as much as you feel comfortable sharing?
Sure. Absolutely. I grew up in an intact family, mom and dad in the home. Youngest of four kids, and at the age of four, I was molested by a teen. I didn't know what kind of impact that would have, of course, you know, kids. What I assumed from what the young man told me was that we would both get in trouble, and somehow I felt that somehow it was my fault as a four-year-old.
That's very common for victims to blame themselves for those kinds of things.
Right, right. But the overnight response to it was being a girl no longer felt safe and happy and things like that. And so I became a tomboy overnight. I tried to bury or hide or get away from the girlness. I rejected part of myself because that's what I felt would be in that situation of danger. And so I didn't tell my parents or anything like that. My behaviors changed during that time. My mom thought it was because my grandfather, who is very beloved by our entire family, had passed away right about then, too. We girls, my sister and I, used to fight for who got to sit next to him He would spoil us with chocolate and just have, it was just a delight. He knew how to nurture girls and everything else too. It was just wonderful as a grandpa. So that was a huge loss at the same time as a loss of my security. So things like that went on. What I realized later on was, this came to my understanding many, many, many years later, is that I had rejected part of myself, and I couldn't love that part myself, but I could love that in someone else, in another woman. And so later on, my confusion, my feeling different because of the sexual abuse ended up morphing into same-sex attraction in my teenage years. That teenage years became a desire to focus on finding a way to become a lesbian and to embrace that world have a special relationship that I'd live out the rest of my life with, marriage-type relationship. Meanwhile, I'd had just a little experience with Christianity, and what I knew about it was what I'd read, pretty much what I'd read in the Bible, starting from the front cover, just like it was a book. I opened it up and read, Genesis and began reading through, and I realized midway through Genesis and part of Leviticus that, this is not something that God approves of. But I didn't know God. I didn't have a personal relationship with him. I had more of deist philosophy where maybe God made the world possibly and he stood far off. So I had no personal relationship with the one who wrote the scripture. And can you still hear me, Bob?
Yes, I can. There was okay. In the first few minutes, there seemed to be some distortion, but for the last couple of minutes, I've heard you just fine. So,
okay, good. Yeah, so I went away to college with this kind of philosophy, and I embraced macroevolutions in a way to get rid of whatever vestiges were my conscience from the Christian understanding. And since God wasn't that real to me anyway, it was an easy toss him out. But I did do that, and I was pursuing homosexuality. I went to the gay groups on campus. I went to lesbian movies. I hung around with the there was a sports team, rugby, and it was all pretty much lesbian. Okay, so those were the environments I found and I got involved in. In the middle of that, I went to a meeting, and I realized during that meeting, gave me that I would not find what I was looking for in that setting. This thought pierced me in the middle of my pursuit of what my ideal was. And I knew that split second thought emanating from much higher and much wiser mind than mine, always telling me the truth. And at that very moment, I ran off and at the UC Santa Barbara Library, I cried out and asked who the real God was. And for the first time in my life, began a new quest. I forgot about it for 2 weeks. And meanwhile, I was asking all my friends because I started having dreams of Jesus. Okay, well, who does Jesus say he is? And so that's what led me to Campus Ambassadors, where you were at, Bob.
And that's how I came into the story.
Yeah, and that's honestly, you guys signed me up. I think Julie did. Julie signed me up for evangelism training, which is like an alpha course that you used to do, where you talk through issues like what is good and evil and what is there a credible basis for Christianity, and brilliant apologetics just hit every question I was having. In the middle of one of those meetings, about 8 weeks in, I was pretending to fit in your group. And everybody was praying heartily. And as you guys were praying and I was pretending, the Holy Spirit showed up and God unveiled my eyes to understand that he was present and that he was weaving in and out amongst the prayers of the saints in that room. And at that point, I became aware of this person who was full of incredible kindness and incredible authority. Essentially, grace and truth to the max, both. Equally. And that person became so amazing in my heart. I was like so enamored with who this God is that I knew that I had to have this person in my life. And that this person was not involved in my life. And so I went to you afterwards and said, Bob, I experienced this. What do I do? I want to be a lesbian and I want to pursue my thing, but I want this person in my life. And you told me the truth, which I'm so grateful for. The gospel says that we forsake our sin, we repent, and we receive Jesus Christ. In fact, it's talked about at the end of Luke. It's talked about throughout Paul's writing. It's talked about in each of the gospels, repent and believe. And I turned over my all that night. You told me about the sinner's prayer. And you said that you want to try and war and win me back. And I thought, okay, I don't know what you're talking about. I prayed that night. And that very night, my rugby friend called me and said, you have to come over right now. And so I went over and told her the crazy thing that Jesus had done in my life. I just kept talking about Jesus. And she said, okay, you can go now.
Well, she wasn't expecting
she
that conversation, was she?
And lesbian. Yeah. So she was not real thrilled with that conversation. No. So it was just a wild ride because God got a hold of me. He won me. He transferred me from the kingdom of darkness, which was running my life my own way, without any connection with the God who made me, to being aware of his presence, to connecting with him and being subjected to him. And that put joy in my life. I mean, it was like being plugged into the wall. I say it's kind of like an appliance. It's useless while it's sitting on the counter unless it's plugged into the wall. It electrifies a person. It gives the whole reason for their purpose for existence is the very presence of God. And that happened to me that very time I prayed. It brought me to life and transferred me into the kingdom of light all at the same time. And so from there, my struggles didn't go away. I still had same-sex attraction, but I was no longer thinking about how to live my way, but how to live to please God.
No, let me and just stop you right there.
The quest of my life.
Let me stop you right there, because that's very important when you say the same-sex attraction didn't immediately go away, because people in our audience need to know that as Christians, we're not necessarily offering these quick fixes that just because somebody prays that it instantly goes away. But it's significant that you made this commitment to God regardless of how you felt immediately afterwards.
Right. That's exactly right. In fact, that's the point of discipleship. There are so many things that we struggle with in life, and I don't care what it is you walk into relationship with Jesus caring. There's a lot of things, perhaps past unforgiveness, which I later had to walk through with the person who molested me, a whole bunch of other things that we carry forward that we may struggle with. And all of those are an exchange. You exchange your sin for God's kindness of righteousness, his washing and cleansing. And then you come under his headship. You come under his leadership. You become a Jesus follower. You learn how to live in a way that pleases him. And when that's your drive, that's your desire, it cleanses the inside part. It begins to work out salvation with fear and trembling. And the scripture comes alive when a person's in that relationship with him. So that began a process. For a couple of years, I didn't struggle a whole heck of a lot, but I didn't have fully new ways. And then I ended up in a lesbian relationship, I'm sad to say.
Right, so up to that time, it had been a struggle and there had been a same-sex attraction, but there had not been an actual relationship up to that time, right?
Well, I'd had relationships, but since becoming a Christian, I had not had a relationship until after that.
Okay, so, yeah. Anne, hold with me over the break. You're listening to The Bob Siegel Show.
You only need to listen to this radio program once to figure out that Bob has very strong opinions on a wide variety of issues. But one of Bob's strongest passions is freedom of speech itself, even when such speech challenges his own convictions. So feel free to send Bob a comment or a thought-provoking question. You can reach Bob on Facebook, Twitter, or questions at bobsiegel.net.
When you trust the care of your children to others, it's comforting to know they share the same Christian values, that what you teach your children at home is also taught in their preschool environment. Wisdom Works Christian Preschool is an all-inclusive preschool where the staff ministers to all children of all abilities, including children with special needs, through a curriculum developed by the owners and designed for the preschool-age child 3 to 5. During these preschool years, your children will make important developmental gains, as well as social and emotional development that'll be the foundation for their overall success in life. Wisdom Works Christian Preschool is a state-licensed, Bible-believing, Bible-teaching preschool and a nonprofit 501c3 organization. Contact us now at wisdomworkschristianpreschool.com and secure a space for your preschooler. wisdomworkschristianpreschool.com or call 619-440-1044. 619-440-1044. Wisdom Works Christian Preschool.
Our guest today is Ann Polk, one of the 100 leading experts on the subject of homosexuality. Ann, you were telling us a little bit about your background in college, how you had given your life to Christ, you had turned away from a lesbian lifestyle for a while, but you were just getting to the part where it sounds like there was somewhat of a relapse that took place.
Exactly. I did have a relapse, actually. I got involved with another Christian gal and flirted around the edge of a cliff and eventually going to fall partway off that. But God was gracious in that I didn't fall all the way down thousands of feet and die. It was a cliffhanger indeed, where you just go down a little bit and you're able to climb back up by the grace of God. Thankfully, I was able to repent after a few months of being involved with her. She was actually struggling with some degree of depression and, my conscience was getting, it was just really hard to walk through that as a believer and be completely knowing that God's going to out you at some point. He's going to bring it to the point of dealing with it. And I'm so grateful he is the kind of God who does that, because he wants to redeem men and women to himself and does not want to subject them to the outcome of sin, which is death. I mean, there is an outcome that is talked about in the book of James and 1 Peter and John, and it's just, and Romans for that matter, 6-8. And so the outcome of that is punishment, is difficulty, is discipline at the very least. And so God brought me back in. I really had to humble myself and look for additional help and support for leaving homosexuality. At that point, Bob, I wasn't at UC Santa Barbara anymore. I was up back where I'd grown up back in Walnut Creek area. And I found a counselor to help me out, and then she connected me with a local, what's called an Exodus ministry, which has since closed, but Restored Hope was birthed out of Exodus, the main leader throwing down the mission of Exodus, which was a God-given mission to help people overcome homosexuality. And Restored Hope picked that up and carried it forward, which is what I...
Oh, so you're working with an organization called Restored Hope now?
Yes, Restored Hope Network is the Exodus ministry of the current. It's thankfully better created.
Do they have their ties to...
bylaws and all that.
Do they have their, an outgrowth of Exodus, or are they a whole different organization?
It's a whole different organization. See, Alan Chambers, he was on, on the hiring committee, one of four, that brought him to the board of directors who hired him as an executive director role for Exodus back in, 1999 or something. And he was hired. Unfortunately, towards the end, he began to no longer see homosexuality as being sin. and that some gay relationships could be holy. And that was his viewpoint. He finally morphed into that viewpoint after about 15 years.
That's very sad. I had Alan Chambers on my program as a guest one time before this had happened. And it was a very interesting, very informative conversation. I was very sad to hear about that move away that he made.
Yeah, me too. And his right-hand man, the executive VP, involved with a gay relationship shortly after Exodus closed. But anyway, they closed the headquarters. But they couldn't close the mission that God had given to all these men and women heading up these ministries all across the U.S. and the world. And so most of those reformulated under Restored Hope Network, this banner that I'm the executive director of. And we have 60 ministries across the U.S. and lots of relationships outside the U.S. of people continuing to be faithful and helping others overcome homosexuality. And so, but anyhow, I found help in a ministry like that. What I had to deal with were some of the underlying things that led me towards my same-sex attraction in the first place. A couple of them were actually dealing with the danger of being a girl or forgiving the guy who molested me. And then eventually, after many years, God convicted me that I need to forgive him from my heart, which was a huge task. It's inhuman. And so I had to ask him for help. He had to make that happen in my soul. And he did. The Lord is faithful to do that kind of thing.
Now, I wanted to ask you about that. When you mentioned candidly that the molesting that you went through as a little girl was obviously connected. Now, I've heard other counselors say that. I know for many years people would write books about that. There's a lot of pushback against that now from people that would say, well, that's nonsense. Obviously, if you have a same-sex attraction, you're born that way. Where would this be on the list? If you were to make a list of common causes for homosexuality, and you're of the belief that it has to do with things that have happened to a person. How high on the list would a molesting be, and what kinds of other causes are there?
Well, surrounded that with the understanding that each individual has a different experience in life. Each one is unique. Each one has had a unique experience in their childhood and their perceptions and their understanding, and that all contributes to how you become an adult and what you carry forward. Although given that, a very high percent of the women who I surveyed back in 2003, out of 265 of them, 7 out of 10 had been molested in their childhood of the women.
Now, what do you say to somebody who says they have no recollection of anything traumatic or negative happening
Excellent.
In their childhood? What would you say to that?
Praise God. Thank you, Lord. Because I would not want you to have that experience. You know, that is great. And don't look for it then. Because if it's not there, you should be grateful. It's hard to walk through. And so I'm not looking to manufacture anything. What we want to do is find out what is it that is driving your heart to the wrong kind of connection with those of your same gender.
Okay, hold that
Whatever
thought.
Whatever the answer to that is, that's the point.
All right, we'll be right back. Bob Siegel. They say a man's home is his castle. So when it comes to the wiring of your house, you don't want to mess around with some unknown electrician. Instead, do what I did. Call W&S Electric Incorporated. W&S specializes in both contracting and repair. From troubleshooting to remodeling to circuit breakers and fuses, W&S takes a skilled but personal interest in your home at affordable rates. I know the owner, Wayne Klingenhofer, personally, and I can testify firsthand to his integrity. Call 619-447-8785. That's 447-8785 for W&S Electric Incorporated. License number 480-539, W&S Electric.
Looking for a book you won't be able to put down? Push the Winds Around is a romance set in the context of science fiction. Dr. Brandon Krieger is given the opportunity of a lifetime, a psychologist's dream. Through the usage of his physics professor friend's time machine, Brandon travels 20 years back through time in an attempt to change one man's destiny. Tom Kyle, a convicted and unremorseful murderer, is located in the past when he was a 6-year-old boy. Brandon's mission? To alter Tom Kyle's path and prevent him from being a vicious killer. Matters are complicated when Brandon finds himself falling in love with young Tom's mother. Push the Winds Around, a novel by Bob Siegel. Available on Amazon.com and BarnesandNoble.com.
Guest today is Ann Polk, who was with Exodus Ministries. Ann, give us the name of the organization again that you're with now and a website where people can find it.
Absolutely. Restored Hope Network and restoredhopenetwork.org is our address. We also have a conference this summer in your area. We have one annually all around the country. It rotates where it's going to be. But June 16th and 17th down in San Diego, we're having our annual conference. It's for strugglers, for family members, for pastors, counselors, people who have loved ones who are in the gay life, and people who have had great consequence to not embracing the gay agenda, so to speak. Some people have lost their businesses and things like that are drawn to our conference as well. So I'm very there are heroes that are standing up for religious freedoms and so on. So I'm grateful for them.
Okay, that's important. So it's not just with people that have struggled with this, with same-sex attraction, but anybody who, as a Christian, has spoken out and come under the gun or lost their business, it's a place for them to kind of get their batteries charged as well.
Exactly. And, the interesting thing is that although our first and primary objective is to assist strugglers. The people who come to the conference, they're so impressed with seeing God's power and kindness in changing lives that they come away feeling really refreshed after having done great battle in their own world. So we're just thrilled that they find that refreshing, and they're absolutely welcome to come.
Okay, so it's called Restored Hope.
Yes, Restored Hope Network.
And is there a church in San Diego that this conference will be held at?
Yes, it is. City View Church.
Okay.
Right in San Diego. And it will be all day Friday, starting registration starts at 8. And the conference goes till 6:30 on Saturday, the 17th.
And what can people expect here? I'm sure there's some guest speakers, discussions. What kinds of things are on the agenda?
Yeah, you bet. Well, Friday night will be something you might not want to miss, and that's the world premiere of a documentary on transgenderism. And it actually focuses on 15 people's lives of people entering transgenderism, others with some experts and so on, and then the redemption of their lives and the outcome of their lives. So that will be on Friday night. On Friday morning and Saturday morning in the afternoons, we will have Joe Dallas speaking. He's the author of Speaking of Homosexuality, When Homosexuality Hits Home, The Game Plan for Overcoming Porn Addiction, Desires and Conflict, and all sorts of other things. Joe did also be one of our speakers.
And will you be one of the speakers yourself?
Well, I'll be on the stage, but my goal isn't to be one of the keynotes, no. I'm bringing all these folks in because people see me all the time. So, but yeah, I will be there. I will definitely be there and giving a couple of addresses. But Janet Mefford will be another. She is a talk show host who is the premier talk show host with Salem Radio and now is with American Family Radio. Linda Seiler, she's just wonderful. She doesn't have a background in this, but she is coming to share with us some very encouraging information about holding firm in the gospel in the middle of this battle for truth and righteousness. Linda Seiler, she's a campus pastor with Chi Alpha at Purdue University. She considered having a sex change herself, and God redeemed her at a young age and rescued her from the outcome that many are encountering these days of sex change surgery and everything else. And so she's got a really dynamic story and is a really good teacher and very popular at our conferences. Ron Sitlau is a pastor from Illinois. He was on staff with Desert Stream as well. And so it will be Desert Stream Ministries is one of our member ministries across the U.S. They themselves have 100 ministries. So, so we've got some amazing people sharing their stories. And Ron has recently written a book called Compassion Without Compromise, dealing with the topic of homosexuality and hope for the same-sex attracted and talking about how to find hope and how the church can help others with hope. And so that's just four of our speakers. We have 32 breakouts. We've got incredible worship, amazing testimonies, and all wrapped up within that and other awesome things, tributes to various people and life stories. So it's a pretty powerful weekend.
I like that title, Compassion Without Compromise. What do you say to Christians who feel that to speak out against homosexuality, or maybe not even speak out, just to have it somehow come up naturally in a conversation, that it's a lifestyle they don't approve of, that automatically translates into us being uncompassionate or hating gay people? It seems like Christians today, many of them, feel that either they must be tolerant of any lifestyle or somehow that makes them compassionless.
Right. Well, there was a 1990 book written called After the Ball.
And yes, I've read that book.
To call people names. Yeah. They actually planned that if they could persuade the 70 middle percent, that they would adopt them to be their victors, to be their, you know, protectors over the victims, the gay community. And it's worked pretty well. And then whoever wouldn't go that way, who would stand and say, you know, homosexuality is still sin, but I love you, that they would intimidate the person by saying that they're hateful or homophobic or that they themselves are gay. And so it's kind of their strategy was essentially psychological warfare, and it worked.
It worked very well. In fact, they even said, even if you know this to be a loving person, even if you know this is somebody right. who hates the sin but loves the sinner, you must present the person as a hate monger anyway. Very powerful, right. Very effective strategy.
It is. The truth of the matter is, though, that the real hope for a person who's dealing with same-sex attraction, they aren't essentially gay or essentially straight. They are a human being made in the image of God. That's their core identity. It should be the core thing of who they are. If a person's unwilling to surrender their lives to Jesus Christ, then you know, that's a whole different ballgame. But if they're dealing with same-sex attraction, it's like they're dealing with any other sin struggle. There's a point of if God's interacting with them, that they do need to surrender their sin to the Almighty and to find out how to please Him with their lives. So homosexuality is not an essential part of a human being. In fact, God separates it from the human and calls it sin and says, I can redeem you from that sin. And I find it really hopeful to know that regardless of what medical study comes out about, that Jesus definitely knows how to redeem people from sin. That's kind of a proven. that's a given, don't you think?
Absolutely. And I think the church has made a great mistake in the past of putting homosexuality in a class by itself. We'll talk about that when we return. My guest, Ann Polk with Restored Hope Network. This is Bob Segal. Looking for a church? Maybe not. Perhaps you've had your fill of churches. Maybe you even grew up in the church. Maybe as a kid you were dragged to Sunday school against your will. Maybe you used to throw spit wads as Mrs. Pumpernickel tried desperately to interest you in the missionary journeys of the Apostle Paul. You may have grown up listening to long sermons, anxiously looking at your watch to see how much of the game you were missing at home on TV as the pastor made his 97th point. Or perhaps you were not raised as a Christian at all. Instead, you have merely encountered Christians. Maybe some obnoxious personality tried to shove the gospel down your throat using all the tact of a lawnmower in a barber shop. Well, my friend, perfect Christians don't exist because perfect people don't exist. That's why Jesus died for our sins. So I'm not going to tell you that the people of Skyline Church are perfect. I'm just going to tell you that we come real close. No, actually, you'll just find people who struggle with life the same as you. But we're honest about the struggle, and we help each other with the struggle. What you will find is a church that takes the love of Jesus Christ seriously. After all, his message is one of mercy and inclusion, and we don't need 97 points to talk about God. Ask anybody. Our sermons have never made more than 96 points. Skyline Church at 94 in Hamishaw, Sunday morning services at 8:30 a.m. and 10:30 a.m. Welcome back to 1170 The Answer. I'm your host, Bob Segal, joined today by my good friend and one of the 100 experts on the subject of homosexuality, Ann Polk, currently executive director of Restored Hope Network. They have a big event that's coming to San Diego in June, sponsored by City View Church. Ann, welcome back to our program.
Thank you, Bob. Pleasure to be with you.
And we were starting to talk about how you were talking about how homosexuality is a sin. It's dealt with like everything else. But I think one of the biggest mistakes in the church that I started to comment on before the break was that they haven't always viewed it as a sin just like any other sin. And I think as a result, there have been a lot of people who perhaps might have found some real help and healing in the church if they hadn't been too intimidated into feeling the freedom to share their own stories.
Right. I do agree with that. I do think it's so important for us to see that sin is something that good can deal with. And there's, you know, it's not a special, unique type of sin, but sexual sin does indeed have greater consequences, as Paul wrote in 1 Corinthians 6, flee sexual immorality, because it's what you do to your body, the temple that you're carrying the Holy Spirit in. And so it matters. There's a whole spiritual reality side and consequence to it that's really deeply significant. But I would put in that same grouping any kind of sexual immorality, fornication, prostitution, porn, adultery, you name it. There's a lot of things that can fit into that category. Let's admit, though, that at the same time that same-sex relationships aren't as weird now as they used to be in the past, but they do a number on the male-female requirement to bonding and sexual intimacy that God designed. God designed us to be reunited with someone of the opposite gender because, and we mean biological identified gender, FYI, because that is what brings back the two halves that were divided by the side that was taken from Adam in the Garden of Eden. This is flesh my flesh and bone my bone. And that's what brings back these two halves together, the male and the female, to make one whole once again. That's the idea behind two in a union as well. And so there are some significant things here, but when it comes down to it, it is simply sin. And there's emotional drive that drives people towards same-sex desire. And that emotional drive is just finding the wrong way to meet a need that is legitimate quite often. And so that's why the ministries that we do matter. Everybody around the country in any church should be able to talk about Jesus being the one who redeems from sin. They may not have as much courage when it comes to talking homosexuality these days because of the labels that are put on you, and it's scary. There's a whole bunch of kickback that comes towards pastors nowadays, but honestly, the hope of redemption comes within the gospel message, which delivers a soul from the destructiveness of sin. And that's amazing and quite a gift and beautiful.
And it's very ironic that I think these days a lot of evangelical churches are doing a much better job of reaching out to the gay community. But unfortunately, now there's people seeking to pass all this legislation to try to stop the church from doing their job. And it seems that there are some Christians who compromise. I had a Christian on this radio show just a couple of years ago who was claiming to be an evangelical Christian, very nice guy. And he was also claiming that it was okay to be gay and that the Bible did not actually refute that. What would you say to somebody like that?
Well, I would say that is the modern challenge. I think that is the primary thing that the church needs to be able to answer. There is absolutely no strong evidence for God changing his mind about sexual relationships. And you have to do a lot of jumping through hoops and bending backwards and sideways in a certain angle in order to excuse same-sex relationship in order to do that. And it's misinterpreting the original language in the scripture, et cetera, meanwhile using Greek and Latin in order to confuse the hearer. And so what I would recommend to your listeners and to every pastor, in fact, we're going to recommend it at the conference as well, grab a copy of Joe Dallas's new book, Speaking of Homosexuality. It is simple. It simply meets every question or every attempt to justify same-sex relationships, and then explores the idea and comes out with the gospel truth. The historic Christian faith stands strong, and all the decades of humankind were obviously gay Christian. But that is not, that's kind of a more cult-like thinking. But everybody else was wrong. So that's an interesting thing. We need to actually evaluate those to see if that is actually accurate or not. Joe's book does that brilliantly. So I recommend it highly.
Okay, the name of that book again? By Joe Dallas?
Speaking of Homosexuality by Joe Dallas. The subtitle is Speaking of Homosexuality with Kindness and Clarity.
Okay, now, Ann, what do you say to somebody who just says science has proven that people are born gay, that it is not a choice, that it has nothing to do with your environment?
That is, like, impossible to prove. It has not been proven, and absolutely is not. It has been proven only through the point of propaganda.
Okay, we'll talk about that
as many times as you want. Yeah,
right. We'll talk about that when we get back.
You know, it's common in today's uncertain economy to feel apprehensive. After all, the seemingly limitless choices in the housing market can look quite confusing. You might even know people who shared their difficult experiences with the housing market, sometimes losing money instead of what they had hoped would be a simple and profitable procedure. Well, here's the good news. Realty Executive All Areas here to help. Our track record is proven. Listen, since 1994, we've sold thousands of homes in the San Diego area. What may seem like an obstacle to you is just a challenge for us. We thrive on multitasking and achieving goals. When faced with opportunities or unique situations, our level of determination goes into overdrive. We're confident we can use our skills to attend to your personal needs.
You can reach my friend Fred Valduti at 619-719-7717. That's 619-719-7717.
Or fredfalduti.com. That's Fred, FALDUTI.com.
The much-anticipated sequel to The Dangerous Christmas Ornament is finally here, Inside the Castle in the Glass. Mike Owen is now in high school enjoying his new girlfriend and his new popularity. But life gets interrupted when a series of mishaps transfer him and his friends into a whole new world, the very world his mysterious Christmas ornament originated from. Inside the Castle in the Glass. Available on Amazon.com and BarnesandNoble.com.
Back with one more segment. Our very special guest, very honored to have her, Ann Polk of the Restored Hope Network. They have a conference coming in June. Give us the dates of that conference again, Ann.
June 16th and 17th.
And that's right here
in San Diego.
Wonderful.
That's
You don't want to miss that. We were talking about the claim that people are born gay and that this has been proven. You were starting to say that actually it has never been proven at all.
All right, and you know, I'm really sorry that I got my engines revving and then it was a break, so I beg your pardon.
That's the nature of radio.
Yeah. Good job. Yeah, good job cutting. So anyway, I just wanted to say that I've read the studies that have been written so far that were claimed, you know, 20 years ago that people were born gay. It was based upon brain studies, a different segment, and there's a whole bunch of different reasons. Even a finger length study that was made and a cochlear study. And it was all because of development of fetus in the womb, et cetera, et cetera. Well, all of those, not one of them has proven a gay gene or a gay causation biologically. In fact, it's so strong, it's difficult to find that evidence, so difficult indeed, that the APA, American Psychiatric Association, or American Psychological Association, beg your pardon, in 2009, removed the biological concept from their paperwork on GLBT studies. And they're very pro-gay. But they realized they didn't have the research to prove that someone was born gay. And so they backed out of that corner that they were in, that they chose.
Well, and back when they declassified it as an emotional disorder in 73, there was so much political pressure that they had to vote by secret ballot, and only one third of the ballots were even turned back in. A lot of people don't know this.
It was so tiny of a percent that made the decision. I think it was like 11% of the entire membership that finally made the decision on whether or not to declassify it. I mean, it was that intense.
Yeah.
It's very political. And the whole thing is, though, that even lesbian and gay researchers, Dean Hamer, said there's no gay gene. Another lesbian researcher said, you know, we can't even classify it. We can't find a gene for shyness, which is a simple emotional response. We can certainly not find one for such a complex thing as sexual desire. So I have all those quotes and more if you want to take a look at my book or at Joe's book, I'm not sure where in his book it's located, but I do know in mine, I covered that topic, born gay. And I look at the research and I discuss it. And then I use gay quotes of the gay researchers who did it, looking for the gay reason. And they don't find the hard concrete facts they're hoping for. In fact, the twin study that took a database of Australia, and it took twins that were identical twins, one of whom was gay and the other was not always gay. In fact, it should have been at least 90%. They have the exact identical genes, raised in the same household, et cetera, and only half are gay and half are not. So pairings. So that's almost a disproving of biological causation, actually, if you look at it that way.
Well, and getting back to somebody who says, well, I don't remember anything traumatic ever happening to me, so I must have been born that way. I remember reading a statement by the psychologist Elizabeth Moberly, and she had said that a lot of the things that influence us happen to us before we're 5 years old, and a lot of people just don't remember anything that goes on during those years, or hardly anything. And so the fact that we don't remember something is not necessarily the end of the conversation.
No, and let's say, though, that we're not interested in people digging for things in their past. If they're not there, we don't want to see people manufacture ideas.
Right, exactly.
Or abuse that they think might have happened. What we want to do is go, you know what? What is an appropriate desire is to bond with people of your same gender. That is a God-given desire to relate to people in your peer group. And from there, when you feel secure and comfortable, you can begin to go, aha, the opposite is fascinating. And indeed, you men are. You're so different than me. That makes it a bit intriguing, honestly. But I had to come to the point where I felt really comfortable in my own skin. And this is my own story, mind you. Everybody has their own unique story. But I do find predominantly that amongst men who end up gay, they did not feel comfortable with male peers as a peer group prior to puberty. And at that point, then what they sexualized is the opposite. They felt more comfortable with females prior to puberty. And when puberty hits, then what drives them towards the opposite, their opposite seems to be males, because they aren't hanging with them. They're not their peer group. So there's a lot of things going on. We don't know why a person would not have felt comfortable. Maybe they were made fun of. Maybe they were called names.
It doesn't have to be a trauma. Things. It could have been something slight. It could have been something that was more subtle.
More sensitive personality, temperament, you know, all the above. For whatever reason, this person feels outside of the grouping of other men, and then sexual desire is meant to drive us towards the opposite. I mean, it's meant to get us out of our little comfort zone and go, aha, look at them. And people go through puberty and then they realize they're attracted to someone of the same gender because they never really connected with that pre-puberty, the peer group. So how do you do that as an adult later on? Well, there are lots of ways. But the body of Christ offers a whole new family, a whole new setup, a whole new opportunity for relationships. And so that's the beauty of the body. God uses his body to produce healing as well as forgiveness. And so it's quite lovely.
Well, Ann, you're wonderful. You're a very courageous woman. I know you've come under the gun. You've gotten hate mail by people who call themselves tolerant. But hope you'll honor us by coming back on our program again. This is Ann Polk of Restored Hope Network. We'll see you next week, everybody.
Thanks again, Bob.
Bob Siegel Show on AM 1170. The Answer is sponsored by Bob Siegel.